we're going to do is we're going to walk through. We've been talking in this series called Kingdom Family. And what we're really talking about is how are our families, how should we set up our families if we're a part of the kingdom? How does a kingdom family look different than a family that's ruled by the ways of the world? You see, the Bible tells us that we battle not against flesh and blood, that the stuff that goes on is not all that's going on, that there is a spiritual battle at place, that there's a spiritual realm in all of this. And so you and I, we're not simply bodies that have a soul. We are souls that have a body. And that is a remarkable difference when we look at what our purpose is. It's a remarkable difference when we look at how we're handling our families, our children, our future, how we're handling our resources. All of that stuff hinges on, am I serving the kingdom of this world? And am I serving the ways that this world wants me to live? Or am I serving a king that is above this world? Am I serving a God that is above and outside of time, space, and matter? And so if we say, you know what, I am a part of the kingdom of God, then there are certain things in our lives that should reflect the kingdom of God. And one of those is that our kingdom families, our family should be structured in such a way that the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords looks down and says, that's a home that I can be made known. That's a home where children are going to be raised and pointed to me and demonstrate my love. That's a home that I want out there representing me, representing Christ throughout the community. And so we're talking about kingdom family today. But for us to be able to get to where our 3, 4, 5 people, 2 people, ourselves, our kingdom family, our home, if our homes can be become kingdom families, we first have to understand the family that we are a part of. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, we begin to see that. Don't you know that all families have rhythms? All families have their own ways of going about doing things. This is kind of why when you visit someone else's house, you may go, wow, I wouldn't have put the TV there. You know, I don't know if I'd have picked out that furniture. I don't know what they were drinking when they went to the store. Like we make these subtle kind of thoughts about, wow, that's different than I would do it. Right? But why? Because they have a rhythm. They have a way. They have thoughts and dreams and desires just like you do. And they have a right to set up their home any way that they want. And so sometimes as a guest, you just go in and you appreciate the fact that the culture is going to be different than your own culture. Every household has a culture. How many of you know that? Every household has a culture. Now, some of us, we have household cultures that we would say, you know what, man, I'm so glad I was raised in a household culture. Some of you, the first thing you did on your 18th birthday was do everything you could to run as far away from the household culture you grew up in. Because you were like, I don't want that. And so by the time you were 13, you were already kind of making a list of how your family was going to be different when you got older, right? And so households have cultures. Families have cultures. There are some things in our house, for instance, with my children. My children, we have a rule that if they leave a room dirty, if they leave a room, it was not picked up when they left, they got out, made a mess, because they're getting older now. You know, I'm like, hey, you know what I mean? Get a job, right? So, like, at some point, and so there are certain things at their age and their levels that they can handle. And so one of those things is, listen, if you use something, if you use a toy, if you get out games, if you do stuff, and then you leave, and it's evident that you are not caring about picking up after yourself, then you lose the right to do that activity or be in that room the next day. And so that's a part of our culture. That's just a way that we try to solve a solution. You may have a different one. You know, you may electrocute your kids. I don't know what you do. But that's kind of what's working for us. So we're gonna stick with that. And I do not believe in hurting children. So anyway, there's always a sensitive one that'll send me an email. I can't believe you. Relax. So anyway, so that's kind of a culture thing. I remember my son, one time he was told not to go so far on his bicycle. He went beyond the bicycle. I this is one that people tell me that they remember me talking about before, but it's just that's how we do things. So I took his bicycle, and I'd had enough of him disobeying, and so I took the front wheel off of his bicycle. I put it in his bedroom upside down, and I laid the wheel next to his bicycle for a week. And so every day when he woke up, he had to see that his bicycle did not have a wheel on it. It was in his bedroom. Why? Because I wanted him to remember, I told him don't go past the pole. And so different cultures, different families have different ways of dealing with things. For instance, we broke down yesterday on the side of the road. Apparently, that's a culture in my family to live on the edge. And we're either going to be on the edge of the empty or we're going to be on the edge of the road. But apparently, we do that too much. So every family has a culture. Some of you, I had somebody tell me yesterday, hey, you know what? When it gets to halfway in my gas tank, I just freak out. I panic. And if it's halfway, I've got to pull over and go get gas. And I'm like, well, apparently that's not my family. We must have a little more willingness to live on the edge. I guess that's why we go out and we're able to start a church, you know, just take risks. So anyhow, kingdom families, you all have culture. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read Ephesians 1, 3 down to 14. And we're going to read through and we're going to pick up some of the ways that we are told by God that we are His. And His family, this is who we are. And what I hope today is twofold. One, I hope that you walk out of here today after having studied this passage of Scripture. I want you to walk out of here today going, wow, that is me. That is me. I didn't realize that. One thing with my children, I've realized as a dad, it is so vital for me. As a dad, I set the tone for how my children receive information. I set the tone. So when something goes wrong, they're nervous. How's he going to respond? Is this a big thing? Is this a little thing? I got a bad grade. Is this a big thing? And so I've learned that I set the tone. And so I have to be measured. And when I speak over a situation, I can speak life into that situation or I can speak darkness and death into the situation. And so I've learned that for my kingdom family, I've got to set a tone that is based on God's tone over me. And a lot of us, we are coming to church and we're hearing about God's tone over us. But something happens when we walk out of the room, we get back in the car, and we set a different tone than what we just heard from God. And so when we talk about a kingdom family, I hope two things take place in your life today. I pray that you're able to quickly see some things that God speaks over you. And if God speaks those over you, you should be speaking those over the people in your family. You should be speaking to your wife this way. You should be speaking to your children in this way. You should be speaking to the person that you hope to marry this way. Why? Because if this is the way that God sees them, you have no right to see them any less. And so what we have is we have people that say that they're in the kingdom, but they operate by their own kingdom. They're still rule and reign over their own lives, and yet you have God that says, no, 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 I rule and reign. I rule and reign. And so what has to happen is that if I'm king, I need you to echo these words to your children. I need you to echo these words to your spouse. I need you to echo these words to your parents. Because if I reign and this is how I speak over them, I want you to speak this way. And so here we go. We dive in and just you can highlight, scribble, underline. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're going to notice all throughout this passage, the praise goes up, the praise goes up, the praise goes up. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, His motive. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons. Through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. To the praise, again, praise goes up. To the praise of His glorious grace. With which He has blessed us in the beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of our trespass according to the riches of what? His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will. According to what? According to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth, in Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we, who were first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. Now, what you see in this passage are many, many promises, many, many ways that He speaks over us. And what I want to do in the time that we have remaining, what I want to do is I just want to be able to point out to you, this is how your God sees you. This is how your God sees you. You see, with my children, my son, when we made the move from one school to another this year, he's had nothing less than a B in his whole life. But when we moved schools, he had so much going on. We moved houses. We moved him in different schools. He had just gotten comfortable in his middle school. And all of a sudden, we started to see some grades come home that we had never seen before. And what was so vital was that he could hear from his daddy, "Daddy, how do you see me right now? Daddy, how do you speak over me? When I'm struggling, when I'm feeling like I'm not enough, when the grades are coming in and they're coming in bad, I've never felt this before. Daddy, how do you see me in this moment?" And you in your own life, you feel the same way. I do the same way. We go through life and we don't get grades anymore, most of us, unless you're still in school. But most of us, we don't get a grade necessarily, but we get a boss that'll say something kind of sideways. We get a negative remark coming from a coworker. We get a family member, when we tell them something exciting, the family member doesn't respond the way that we had hoped. Maybe you still have a mom or dad you have to call once in a while, or they called you to remind you that you haven't called them. And so constantly we're bombarded with a sense of our worth. And if you don't understand that you're in a kingdom family and that there is a daddy in heaven who speaks over you and who already blesses you and already gives you a certain amount of identity in Him, then you're liable to allow your identity to be built around all of those comments and all of those negatives and all of those remarks that everyone else wants to give you. You see, you're going to listen to a voice. You're either going to be listening to the voice of God speaking over you, calling you to repentance, calling you to live up to your fullness, but at the same time, being a God in heaven that says, "I've done these things for you." Or you're going to listen to every low-life person that wants to try to tear you down. And you have no idea where they're hurt and why they're hurting you. You have no idea what started their day off the way that they did. But all you can focus on is, man, they really believe that negative stuff. Maybe I should believe that negative stuff. Maybe I'm not cut out for it. Maybe I'm not as smart. Maybe I'm not as pretty. Maybe I'm not as talented. You know, I don't ever think that I'm not as pretty. I don't have that problem. No, but so we go and we got to look and we have to look at the scriptures and just say, "God, what are you saying? Daddy in heaven, what are you saying over me? I'm in your kingdom family, so what do you tell me?" Here we go. Verse 3, I'm going to give you 8 today. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." So the first thing your daddy tells you today and the first thing that you need to tell your children, you need to tell the people around you, is this: you are blessed. 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 You see, my children, what I try to do is I try to remind my son that I'm his father and that everything that I have is his. And he can either worry about what that low-life sixth grader snot-nosed kid is saying to him, or he can worry about what his daddy believes about him. And so all of a sudden, when he goes from thinking that that sixth grader decides who he is, and all of a sudden he puts that sixth grader up against his daddy, now all of a sudden the sixth grader's opinion is nothing. The sixth grader is still pooping himself in the pool. Like it's nothing compared to that. And so when you have that comparison game going on, then you can just say, wow, my daddy believes in me. I don't need to care about what you say. Because I've got a belief that's stronger and bigger and it's more resolute and it comes from a place of wisdom and strength in my life. I don't need to believe what you want me to believe about me. So you're blessed. God looks at you as His child. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, if you have repented of your sin, you are following Jesus, He looks at you and says, you are blessed. You are a blessed person. Verse 4, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we shall be holy and blameless before Him. You know what that passage says? It says you are wanted. You are blessed by your God in heaven, and you are wanted. There are so many of us that go through so many things wondering if we are wanted. Am I wanted by Him? Am I wanted by her? Am I wanted by the employer? Am I wanted? Do people want me around as friends? Did I mess up? Did I make a mistake? Am I good enough? Can I hang in that group? Are we wanted? Are we wanted? Are we wanted? But you in the kingdom family, you and I have to look and you and I have to say, you know what? I am wanted by the holy God, a holy God that loves me. I am wanted. I am His. The Bible says that we are chosen to be holy and blameless before Him. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. We are wanted. We are chosen. When I look at adoption, man, the adopted child is a wanted child. In love, it says, in love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. So not only are you blessed, not only are you wanted, but another thing you need to keep in mind is you are loved. It is love that motivated God to adopt you into His family. You are loved by God. I don't care if somebody's having a hissy fit. I don't care if somebody's got their underwear in a wad. They might be having a bad day, but you're loved by God. You're loved by God, and you can either choose to live in and walk in how other people want to talk about you and bring that negativity into your life, or you can choose to wake up and say, I am blessed, I am wanted, and I am loved by God. There are lots of weeks where I'll get up and the focus of my sermon is to say, help you, hey, move, repent, change. Today, I'm praying that you just walk out of this room saying, these are the truths of my daddy in heaven. And these are the ways that I can let other people around me know. So what you should be doing with your family and friends and your loved ones, your wife, your husband, your son, what you should be doing is you'd be saying, you know what, you're blessed. You're a blessed person. You were wanted. I want you. God wants you. You're wanted. You're loved. You're loved. The Scripture says that in love, He predestined us for adoption. It is love that motivates Him. Then we move on to the next one, verse 6. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He has blessed us in the beloved. To the praise of His glorious grace. He gets the praise for our positioning. He gets praise for our positioning. This is kind of a pause in the middle of these blessings that are spoken over us. And then He just stops and just says, you know what? It is to the praise of His glorious grace. So what is that important? He gets praise for your positioning. So yes, I am blessed. Yes, I am wanted. Yes, I am loved. These are all true. But why? Is it because of anything I've done? Is it because of who I am? Is it because of my intellect? Is it because of my looks? Is it because what I've done at work? No. I'm this way. I receive these things because of God's glorious grace. We turn around and as children of God in the kingdom family, we say, God, You shower Your blessing over me, but I don't let it get to my head because this is only by Your grace that You do. It's by Your grace that You'll reach out to me. It's by Your grace that I have heard of the message of the gospel of Jesus. It is by Your grace, God. And so that allows the Christian to subsequently, in one hand, bring in the blessing of God and live in the blessing of God, but on the other hand, also walk humbly. If you see an arrogant Christian, you're not seeing a Christian. Because, and I say that boldly, but it's true, because you know what? The arrogant, and maybe it's just in that moment that person gets a little bit arrogant. But here's the thing. Everywhere, everything that we have from God is a blessing from God, a gift from God, it's grace from God. And so as a result, God gets the credit for all that we feel. If we feel good about our job and our situation, God gets the credit. It's by His grace. If we are well fed, it is by His grace. If we are not struck down in our trespasses and in our sin, and if we're able to walk around and enjoy this life, it is by His grace. So as a result, the Christian, the mode is to go away from an independent life where I rule and reign over me, and I'm the king, I'm the queen of my own existence, and we're moving to a life to where we say, Lord, I'm laying down my crown, and I'm picking up the crown and cross of Jesus Christ. And so in that transition is, humility. It is by God's grace that I'm blessed. It's by God's grace that I'm wanted. It's by God's grace that I'm loved. And so it's by God's grace that I let other people know, hey, you're blessed. Jesus died for you, built the bridge from heaven to earth for you. You're wanted. Did you know that God wants you? John 3:17 says that Jesus, you know 3:16, but John 3:17 says that He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world through Himself. So did you know you're wanted by Jesus? Did you know you're loved? Do you know how many people in your life, do you know how many people around you, do you know how many people in your family just need to sometimes have you stop them, look them straight, pupil to pupil, and say, you're loved by God and you're loved by me. And there are going to be days when, because we're both human, because we're both broken, there's going to be days when I do something wrong to offend you. There's going to be days when I sin against you. There's going to be days when you sin against me. But you know what? Can we just take a moment and recognize I love you and that God loves you too? And I'm going to do my best to not hurt you. Sometimes people just need to know that. So not only do you need to know that for your day-to-day life, I'm wanted, I'm blessed, I'm loved, but you need to turn around to people in your life and say, you know what? A kingdom family shares that we're wanted, we're blessed, we're loved. Verse 7. In Him, everybody say, in Him. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of what? His grace. We're not forgiven because of us. We're not forgiven for what we can do. We're forgiven because of His grace. Once again, you can't be an arrogant Christian that way. You are redeemed. You are redeemed. Redeemed. It's the most fun when you go to a Red Zone Adventures is a local place that you go and you play games and it spits out tickets. And one of the most fun things you can do is to go up and redeem your tickets. And if you too win 75,000 tickets, you will get a blow up plush toy. I don't know. A Frisbee. It's 3 inches wide. But you'll be redeemed. But here's the thing. Jesus looks at you. And here you are. The Scripture paints this picture that you and I are trapped in our sin and our trespasses. And we're behind the counter and the enemy stands there at the counter. And Jesus comes up and says, that one is mine. I'm turning in my body. I'm turning in my blood. And I'm taking Tali with me. He is redeemed. Redeemed. He's no longer bound to his sin. He's no longer bound to his brokenness. He's no longer bound to always live as a selfish human being. I have redeemed him. And maybe you may look and just say, where do I stand before God? Well, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've laid your life down and picked up the cross of Christ, then you're already redeemed. You know another thing about that word that you need to pay attention to? It's past tense. You're redeemed. Some of you are already redeemed, but you're fighting really, really hard and you're trying to behave real well so that God will redeem you today and redeem you today and redeem you today and redeem you today. But some of us, we just need to live in the blessing of being redeemed. If I know who I am, I know what I don't need to do. If I'm seeking out love from people, I might have to look to them and say, okay, how do I need to behave so that you'll love me? But if I'm already loved, I don't have to stoop to your level. I need to walk around and walk as one who is redeemed already. Not hesitant, not shy, not trying to wonder whether or not God loves me, whether or not people will accept me. No, I'm redeemed by God. That's who I am. And as a result, I don't have to lower myself. I don't have to get inside that sin. I don't have to try to get joy from those places because I'm already redeemed. I'm a child of God, and I'm going to live as one. Redeemed. Verse 8, I'm going to go a little quicker. When he lavished his love upon us in all wisdom and insight, when he lavished his love upon us in all wisdom and insight, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. He lavished his grace. When it says his grace is on you, in the previous verse, it says the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. The forgiveness of his grace have been lavished upon you. You are forgiven. You're redeemed. You're forgiven. So you walk around and you can either just say, man, I'm always on pins and needles with God. Or you could say, no. I am forgiven. I'm forgiven. My sin is gone. My debt has been paid. I have been redeemed. I am forgiven. How does this work inside of your family? It works inside of your family is that with your children especially, but with your spouse, you don't hold forgiveness as an option. You don't hold forgiveness with the people you love as an option. You don't say, hey, with me, you're going to need to come and I'm going to have to hear your case and we're going to have to decide this out every single time. And I'm going to make a decision whether or not. You don't play a shell game with forgiveness. What you do is all you're looking for is do you recognize what you did that hurt? And are you sorry? Do we understand that this isn't, we're not going to try to keep doing this again? Forgiven. Very clear, very upfront, forgiven. You know what you did. You know it hurt. You're not going to attempt it again. Forgiven. But then you go, well, folks, come on, Pastor. But she does it all the time. Pastor, my husband, I can barely even use the toilet. I've got to watch the toilet before I sit down. Can you believe that? Jesus gave us instruction for this. Peter's like, hey, how many times do you expect me to forgive somebody? Like 7? Jesus is like, no, man. Like 70 times 7. Like a lot. Like all the time. And so in your own family, in your own household, forgiveness shouldn't be optional. If a person is genuinely repenting, then forgiveness should be easily available. Because forgiveness for you is already available through Jesus. Jesus isn't up there giving you forgiveness, taking it back, giving you forgiveness, taking it back, making you wonder. So why do we play those games with others? Genuine love means all I need to know is that we're clear that this happened, it violated me, it hurt, and you're not going to try to do that again. Like we're good with this. It hurt. Okay, you have my forgiveness. We're forgiven. Making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purposes, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. You are united. You're united. You're one. You're connected with God. You're not disparate. The Scripture says that He's done all these things. He's given you grace and He's given you forgiveness and He's given you redemption. Why? Because you're loved and you're wanted. You're adopted and you are united with God. You don't have to wonder where you are every day. You're united with Him. He's united us with His work. It's His finished work that does it. You say, well, Pastor, I haven't been blah, blah, blah lately. Guess what? He's done it all. He's done it all. You're united with God. You're walking with God. You're redeemed. You're forgiven. It is a grace-filled residence when it comes to the kingdom family. You're united to unite all things in Him. Verse 11, in Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. You are wealthy. You have an inheritance coming. You have an inheritance that's left for you. And you are wealthy. I heard it expressed this way. Apparently there's a joke that a comedian makes. And he says, you know what? Shaquille O'Neal is rich. The guy that writes his check is wealthy. Shaquille O'Neal is rich, but the guy that writes his check is wealthy. You see, on this planet, in this room, you and I are among the top 2% of the entire world, like population. We're pretty, you might not realize it, but you're pretty loaded. And you're like, nah, I'll check my bank account. But you're loaded. Why? Because about 75% of the world makes $2 a day or less. And even in this country, if you're unemployed, you're still above that. So most of us, we're already rich. But not only are you rich, not only has God blessed this room with people who are rich, but you're also wealthy. Because there's an inheritance that comes down from the one that made the mountains. You know what your inheritance is? Your inheritance is not anything that God has made. Because if God only gave you the stuff that He made, He would be giving you the less than His best. So God's inheritance to you is Himself. And so anytime that you have your pity party and you want to break out your wine and violin and cheese, just stop and go, you know what? Number one, I got to cut this out. I'm in the wealthiest place on planet Earth. And beyond that, man, beyond that, I have an inheritance. My salvation in Christ, my relationship with God, it's not going anywhere. I'm forgiven, redeemed, set free from my sin. And God, He doesn't want me to chase after anything that He's created. He wants me to chase after Himself. Verse 12 down, it says, so we who are the first to hope in Christ might be the praise to His glory. In Him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. You want to know what else you are? You are sealed. Sealed. I could sing the song if you want me to. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. You're sealed. It's done. The letter's been written. The envelope's been licked. You're sealed. You're sealed. It's finished. It's finished. All of your efforts. You think it's finished. You are blessed. You are wanted. You are loved. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. You are united. You are wealthy. It is sealed. You are sealed. There's no effort. There's no labor. If you're walking around and the Christian life is hard, let me help you. You're doing it wrong. If there's a lot of labor for you to be a Christian, you're doing it wrong. The beautiful thing about God is He says, listen, it's all on me. I'm the vine, you're the branch. You can't do jack apart from me, but in me, you can do anything. And He looks and He says, what do branches do? They do nothing. They just produce fruit. It's like you're just walking down the street. I'm a fruit producer. I don't do anything. God just works in me somehow, and I just become a better person. But if you're working hard, you're doing it wrong. Your number one job in this, if you're saved and you're loved and you're redeemed and you're wanted and all these things, you're sealed by God, your number one job is to live a surrendered life. That's your job. That's your job. Your job is just to surrender to the love of God. Your job is to wake up every day and to look in the mirror. And if you have to, listen, if you have to, record these on your iPhone. Record them on your memo. And then play it back every morning when you wake up. I am blessed. I am wanted. I am loved. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. What? You see, when I'm walking out of my house, I shouldn't be living in the opposite. I shouldn't be looking and say, I wonder if I'm blessed today. No, you're blessed. I wonder if anybody wants me. No, you're wanted. I wonder if I'm loved. Will I be loved today? Should I go try to seek out love? No, you're already loved. Am I redeemed? Is God and I okay? Yeah, you and God are okay. You're redeemed. Am I forgiven? You're forgiven already. Am I united or am I alone? No, you're united. You're in a big family of God. Am I wealthy? I mean, I feel so broke and my checks are bouncing. Like, no, you're wealthy in heaven. Now you got to get your junk together and quit eating out. But you're good. And I am sealed. You know what that means? I don't have to work at it anymore. My greatest work every day when I wake up is to die to Tolly Wilgus. It's the truth. And that's the truth for you too. The greatest thing you can do when you wake up is to not go out and try to manufacture God's love. The greatest thing you could do when you wake up is just to say, you know what, self, I'm probably going to mess up today. So how about I just go ahead and give Jesus the wheel now instead of having Carrie Underwood sing to me later? Good song, right? I just always wonder, like, what'd she get herself into? Or she's headed to a tree. Take the wheel. They gave him the wheel when he got in. Hey, let's go ahead and pray. I pray that seriously today you would look at some of these words that you wrote down. And I pray that honestly you would just look when you're having a rough day this week. Grab that list. Tape it someplace. Put it someplace in your car. Tape it to your mirror. But if you're going through a difficult time, look at these 8 things that you're promised in Ephesians 1 about the kingdom of God. And just say, hey, are any of these my problem today? Did I forget that I was loved? Did I forget that I was redeemed? Did I forget that I think I was lonely, but I'm actually unified with God? What is my challenge today? And I would bet that you're going to find that the enemy's gotten in your ear and you're listening to a voice you shouldn't listen to. And really all you need to do is to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I forgot that I'm already loved. I'm already wanted. I'm already redeemed, and it's already been sealed. So I'm not sure why I'm trying to get the approval of man when I've already got the approval of God. Let's pray.